Donald Trump and British Prime Minister Boris Johnson getting on like great pals at the G7 summit, and it seems the UK could really use a friend right now. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Find us wherever you find great podcasts, as well as on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Latest between Trump and Russia, sources in Deutsche Bank saying they've got Trump's tax returns and proof of loans Trump has taken out co-signed by Russian oligarchs. Comes after more criticisms of Trump's kowtowing to Putin at the G7 summit. Anything on this, Ed?
Well, is there anything new here? This is all expected. We knew he'd been in their pocket. He's done everything he can to ingratiate himself. And so while this is disheartening, it's not unexpected. And lastly, what's going to be done about it? Are we going to let Trump just skate on all this stuff, or is there going to be some actual movement from somebody who's got the guts to say this man's got to go?
Unfortunately, it does seem like business as usual. Also at the G7, perhaps unsurprising, but Trump and British Prime Minister Boris Johnson getting along like a house on fire. We've talked before about the UK's lack of anything really to bring to the table in a trade relationship. So what could this be? What could be in this for the US and the UK other than press photos?
Well, there's a lot more for the British, because the British need trade partners. And for them to cuddle up to the United States makes sense at this point. Remember, they had the state dinner. All this stuff is prelude to the U.S. and the U.K. entering a free trade agreement that is historic, a big one. The problem is the U.K. doesn't have a hell of a lot to trade. So it may look good on paper, and it may cause the wolves to stay off Morris's back for a week or so, but this is certainly not the answer for the U.K., But they are very desperate. It looks like they're not going to make a deal with the Europeans, and those tariffs could be really a nightmare for the UK.
Talk a little bit more about Brexit in a bit, but staying with the US and trade, Trump took to Twitter earlier this week to hereby declare that US businesses were ordered to look for alternatives to China to do business with. It's a little bit of a royal decree from King Trump, and doesn't quite suit the Republicans' business-friendly, small government mantra, Ed.
It certainly doesn't, and he's already catching hell from it, even for his own side. This is probably the emperor, not only with his clothes off, but with his pants down. he is not making hay with anybody on this one. And I'm afraid to say this is the last rodeo for him. He's got no place to turn now with the economy softening. The UK is not going to save him. And these latest revelations are really down. At some point, somebody in the Senate has got to say, hey, this is over. Let's move on.
Jeffrey Epstein accuses having their day in court this week as a judge mulls over whether to let the criminal case continue in the wake of Epstein's death. A lot of powerful people still on tenterhooks with this one. Any thoughts, Ed?
Well, let's hold off for a week or two on this, because this is embarrassing for a whole lot of people. And let's see where we go when we have more from the judge. But I think the judge is going to let a lot of it through so that the truth gets out.
And while we're discussing court cases, a federal judge has ruled in favor of the state of Oklahoma against pharmaceutical company Johnson & Johnson in what may prove to be a landmark case, holding a drug company accountable for the U.S. opioid crisis.
This is a landmark. And it may go the same way as cigarettes, and that the companies are going to have to be a hell of a lot more responsible of what they say and what they do. They've been pumping this stuff on television. I think there's going to be an awful lot of legislation that says you can't sell drugs on TV anymore. Before you could sell judges on TV. This kind of stuff never happened. I think there's going to be a real reckoning here. And the drug companies, like the cigarette companies, they're going to be throwing billions to the state to try to start prevention programs.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about some of the underlying issues, depression and the like, that sort of factored into this one. But yeah, coming to it as an outsider, really is a strange relationship Americans have with drugs and drug commercials.
Well, they have a strange relationship with all commercials, don't they?
Taking a look down south, the Amazon is burning. Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro now accepting a $20 million aid deal he'd previously sort of rejected, only on the basis that he gets to decide how it's spent. What's going on, Ed?
Well, we've got to save the Amazon. That's a quarter of our breathing oxygen that all of us need. So we've got down on our hands and knees a little bit on this one, because if we don't get that oxygen, the whole world's going to suffer. When these fires get out of control, I don't know if we can ever get them back into control.
And just on this topic, you know, as you say, people have been rightfully fretting over the fate of the Amazon, the lungs of the world, as some have called them. While this has been going on, Trump himself has asked Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue to remove protections from Alaska's Tongass National Forest and make millions of acres available for potential logging, energy and mining projects. More bad news for nature under the Trump administration, Ed.
Yes, it is. And I don't think we need to say much more about it than that. It is more bad news. The public, Republicans and Democrats, are going to react to this. But what does he care at this point? He seems to get away with whatever he wants to do, and he's going to give this a try. You can be sure this one's going to be in court, too.
And across the pond, Brexit. The UK has been making the Trump government look, well, rather sane and orderly over the last couple of months. Boris Johnson has gone to the Queen to suspend Parliament from September 9th to October 14th, the longest suspension of British legislature since World War II. I'm actually struggling to wrap my head around how they can possibly justify this one. The Queen has now, of course, passed it. How this can possibly be justified?
Well, the reason for this is the Labour Party will not vote for an exit without a deal. And if they don't vote for it, the country's in chaos. So what he's trying to do is get up enough votes from crossbenchers so that he can get something done short of a full pullout. And so the idea here is to keep the parliamentarians available to him to talk to and not busy on parliamentary business. He wants to persuade them to either go with the deal or go with a no deal, but he needs all the votes he can get to do that.
I understand betting odds are now at 50-50 for a no-deal Brexit. It almost looks inevitable at this point. Any predictions for what that would mean?
It would mean rationing comes back to Great Britain. People would not have enough food. They won't have enough water. They won't have enough energy to conduct business. It is bad, super bad news.
And the last few weeks, we've been looking over various contenders for the Democrats in the 2020 race. This week, South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg. His name came up last week, as you mentioned, Ed. Nice guy, but not necessarily going to be a heavy hitter.
Well, Pete Buttigieg, let's give a little history on him. He's a kid of Maltesian background. His parents fled Malta. They come to the United States, take up home. He's born. He's a great student, an athlete. He gets a Rhodes Scholarship. First, he goes to Harvard, gets a Rhodes Scholarship. He's a leader at Harvard, leader among those Rhodes class. He's barely back from his Rhodes Scholarship after working a couple of years in business, in the consulting business. He runs for mayor and gets it and wins two terms on a very progressive agenda. So he's gotten a lot of national publicity from this. And he is very much like Beto O'Rourke, smart, charming, etc. He's openly gay, so he's pulling what you call the left to his side. And I think he may not be a vice president, but certainly we're going to see him in national office soon.
And just to add to that little personal history for him, I think it's worth mentioning he's done time in the service as well, I believe.
In Afghanistan.
Yeah, exactly right. And an intelligence officer.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he's got quite a history behind him. You mentioned a bit of a progressive. What are the key issues he's standing on?
Guns, gay rights, gay, lesbian, and other rights, a national health care plan, much the same stuff Bernie's standing on, and a stronger role in the United States in the whole immigration debate and the climate change debate. As the United States, not as a victim anymore, but as a person that helps solve these problems. So he has not a whining, but a very strong set of answers the nation is facing. But he doesn't have the presence.
And just, I mean, obviously it would be a big if. We're not really expecting Pete Buttigieg to get too much further in this race, although building a terrific name for himself in the meantime. America's first openly gay president would be quite a thing to see. But then we saw America's first black president, and we've seen the backlash, I guess you can call it, in terms of our current the current president of the United States right now. Just wondering what that future would look like, whether America would be ready for that.
Two times from now. We have to get a woman first.
Ed and I will be back next week to talk the latest in US news and politics. Subscribe on iTunes, Wooshka, Facebook, and Twitter. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Wooshka, Facebook, Twitter, wherever you get your podcasts, at US of Ed.